Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, Aaron, we've got a sponsor this hour. It's Pat Bay Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right up next to Phil's Prop Shop. So go up and see them if you're looking for John Deere products of pretty much any kind. They can, if they don't have them, they can sure find them for you. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch him on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
How easy is that? Well, okay.
What do we got going today, Aaron?
Well, Bill, I was going to do like free advertisement of the week. Who was it going to be? Oh, I know. It's going to be Nicolette Glass. I love those guys.
Yeah, they did a good job.
They always do a good job. They're making us some darkness screens. Tell you what, if you are... Are you experiencing, if you live in Redding, you're experiencing the magic of living 2 miles from the sun and in the morning.
I didn't know anywhere was 2 miles from the sun.
That lady from the plane. you put those dark shades on it. Oh, my gosh, it makes such a huge difference. And they go on with Velcro, so you can take them off if you want. Anyway, pretty awesome, and they're not that expensive, so you should give Nicolette a call and have him make some for you. I did not look up their number. I am remiss. I will do that soon. But our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen, has not been on with us, for a little bit. I guess it was like April or something. And I was chatting with Ellen, and she said, "Where's Dr. Chen?" And I said, "I don't know. We'll get a hold of him." And he wanted to talk about the congressional hearing and some of the just kind of a different view of the diplomacy efforts, we'll call them. And he called me when I was, sorry, Dr. Chen, I was in the shower when you called. And then I didn't have time to rearrange the website, but I will, because I can do that while we're chatting. But you had an idea for where we were going to go with this, and so we're going to let him take that away. But I wanted to, for those people who haven't heard any of our shows with Dr. Chen before, you can go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the tab that says China, and we have a lot of different shows with different people. But Dr. Chen has been, he has been our guest since back in 2019, a year ago, 2019, July 21st, actually. He wrote an article, "Can Chinafornia Ever Become California Again?" And it was like, I like that guy. I think he's going to be great. And here we are all this time later. He's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related. Dr. Chen began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. Outraged by the June 4th massacre, Dr. Chen founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian. He was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And upon learning the brutal persecution of the Falun Gong in China, Dr. Chen founded the Falun Gong Human Rights Working Group in 2001, has since submitted over 100,000 cases of human rights abuses against Falun Gong practitioners to UN special reporters. He has also founded and is president of the Conscience Foundation, a nonprofit organization to publicize and remind people that human conscience is the very essence of humanity. He's spoken extensively on issues of human rights in China, and since 2001 has frequented meetings of the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva, now called the Human Rights Council, spoken to the council and many forums to forward the cause of human rights. He was a panelist at the annual meeting of the California Bar Association and has spoken to Amnesty International's U.S. Easy for me to say. U.S. West Region, and has made numerous appearances at various forums and on radio and TV. He has a book, Stories of Conscience, The Falun Gong Report, the Falun Gong Humanity's Last Stand, and now in its third edition, and most recently a comprehensive report on the extensive psychiatric torture taking place in China. So he, in real life, he is, well, let's see, I'll skip to the end. So you'd think, like, okay, he's an activist, right? That's what he does. But actually, he was born in China in 1962, and at 15 entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982 to study, and he received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego in his free time. In his free time, he's a microbiologist, and the rest of the time, he's...
Yeah, that's what I do.
Saving the world.
Yeah.
So, Bill,
yeah.
Back to you.
He's a busy man.
He's a busy bee. Dr. Chen, thanks for coming on with us. And why don't you just kind of take it wherever you want to go? I really liked what you said in your message, but I won't reiterate it. I'll let you do it.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. And it's also a corporate time. Last week, or the week before, actually, the Congress held what so many people call a historical hearing about the existence of aliens. Now, finally, after this many years, after the government have been denying and actually suppressing the evidences and whistleblowers, now finally it broke open. There's no more denial. There's, you know, of existence of alien. And so, the hearing was over, you know, several hours long, so I'm not going to cover a lot of those anyway. Actually, that's available online, so I'm not going to I'm not going to talk about details, any details of it. But I just want to jump to one thing that, you know, I hope, well, I believe most people would, and I hope all people would come to that conclusion, and that is that humans are not alone. Humans are not the highest lives. You know, aliens are certainly not God, but atheism is totally false. The so-called evolution, Darwin's evolution theory, is officially dead. Right? It should have been dead a long time ago, but with that hearing, right, there can be no possible. There's no possible explanations for any technology. It's so far advanced above human beings. Actually, about a month ago, maybe two, right, about 2 months ago, a Harvard University professor dragged a magnetic net over an area of ocean where the Defense Department and NASA's own satellite tracking or meteor tracking program have observed the trajectory of a meteor back in 2014 and landed in a particular area, an area of, you know, about a mid-sized city. So it's a large area, but still, it narrowed down to that. And so this Harvard professor and designed a magnetic dragnet and dragged in that area, and then came up with 50-plus mounted metal balls, and this... They analyzed the component, ingredients of that, and then discovered that those are not from humans. And the material that's in it's already, if it burned, okay, it, you know, once it crashed into the Earth's atmosphere, that flying object is burned up. So what they was able to fish from the bottom of the ocean from that area is the, you know, the melted metal ball. But the team was able to calculate that those material will allow the flying object travel, right? I forgot the actual number, but maybe 100 times faster than than our spaceship. So it would take us 1 billion years to go out of the solar system or however, where there's a large number. Yet with their technology, it can go out in 10,000 years. So anyway, so recently there are many more of this kind of information available, but none as, you know, as official as this hearing. This hearing, and many people have already I checked several of the mainstream media, even they call that as a historical hearing. Now, I hope that this does not just stay in the technological arena, where the alien technology is, you know, beyond our human reach, etc. I hope that this will get us to realize that this changed a lot of things, right? Because alien, as I said, alien are not God, but the existence of alien proves that human are not alone. Human are not the highest. So that alone should be a death sentence to atheism. Certainly a death sentence for evolution theory. So now, if atheism is false, if we human are created by God, then we better realize that we human need to measure our activities with higher principles. Instead of our human principles, the interest, all those, you know, weird social theories, because if atheism is false, if divinity is true, then we are governed by principles of our Creator. Like that should be common sense.
Yeah.
And so, with that, I want to, you know, I don't want to talk everything in this particular program is related to China. I think this new paradigm should integrate our previous discussions in this station. You know, we have dozens of discussions of topics related to China. And this new paradigm should integrate our previous discussion all together very well. And I want to review a few things that we have discussed before. So we discussed that there are only two kinds of human conflict. The kind that even animal knows how to do, I call those interest-based conflict, you know, fighting for food, fighting for space, fighting for the right to reproduce, you know, fighting for a spouse, okay? So those, even animal knows how to do. And then there's a kind of conflict that only human beings know how to do. I call that principle-based conflict. And that deals with right and wrong, truth and false, good and evil. Right? So there are many kinds of principle-based conflict. I mean, interest-based conflict are much, much more prevalent. I mean, our daily struggle, our, you know, competing nations, competing companies, you know, they all deal with interest-based conflict. But what matters to a human being the most usually are the principle-based conflict. For example, freedom versus dictatorship, right? Communism versus capitalism. So those are principle-based conflict. Right? But above...
Sorry about that, Dr. Chen.
No, it's my fault.
No, it's mine. Oh, no, wait, it's Bill's.
Okay.
We'll blame Bill. Mm-hmm. Poor Bill. Oh, my goodness. All right, so I'm sorry. Go back to your train of thought if you still know where it is, if you know where you left it.
Yeah. So we talk about the principle-based conflict. The ultimate principle-based conflict is the fight or the struggle between atheism over the belief in divinity. Because if atheism happens to win, then everybody would be wiped out by higher beings, by God, by, you know, Buddha, by, you know, however different culture would call their higher beings be. Because human beings are created by them. When human beings no longer believe in them, and human beings will not have moral guidance, and will make them a complete chaos in immoral living, right? And so they'll be eliminated. There are historical records of that, right? Not only in the Bible, but also, you know, in the relics. So there were those historical examples. And so this conflict is more serious than any previous principle-based conflict, right? I mean, even if communism would triumph over capitalism, say, right, that didn't happen, but if that happens, well, at least those people in the communist world will live. Maybe they'll live miserably, but they'll live. But if atheism wins, the people from atheism countries, they will also be wiped out. So this is why it is the ultimate conflict for human beings. Well, this conflict has happened for a long time, right, throughout the history. But it has never taken the form as past World War II, particularly after the ending of the Cold War Cold War. I'm called Cold War I because we're in the Cold version 2.0. Cold War, so Cold War II. Right? So at the end of the Cold War, the free world won a victory. Resounding victory over communism. But there was one country, communist country, spared of that, that Cold War from the communist world. That's China. Together maybe with a couple of smaller communist powers, like North Korea and Cuba. The rest, the major part of the communist bloc were defeated from Soviet Union to the East Bloc countries, including Poland, Ukraine, etc. Okay. But China was, the Chinese Communist Party was spared. And then, given that, given how weak China was, the Chinese Communist Party came up with a new strategy, and we have discussed here on our program. I call that generous barbarism. Now, China was very poor. The free world was strong, particularly the United States, the strongest country. But this is why I say we have a new paradigm. Right? Now we can say confidently, without causing, too much political uproar, we can say that the U.S. is strong because U.S. based its system. American people based their life, their way of life, on the belief in divinity. They believe in God. And China was poor because the Chinese Communist Party not only prohibited people from believing in higher beings, in divinity, but that regime actually prohibited people from knowing the existence of Satan. So that's why that regime is more evil than even Satan, if that's possible, right? But that's what the Chinese Communist Party was. Right? Now, China, however, has the largest population in the world. In some people's eyes, particularly the Wall Street people's eyes, in the globalist eyes, that is a huge market.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so, the Chinese Communists, we call it the CCP. CCP, after seeing the defeat of the Soviet Union and East European bloc power, it knows it has no chance. And then also after the 1989 June 4th massacre, that the CCP also know it has lost its legitimacy inside China. At the world stage, communism is defeated. So even its ideology, become illegitimate. Right? And so it knows that it has no match for the rest of the world. So then it began to say, we're not going to threaten the rest of the world. We're not going to threaten you, the United States and the free world, which is a lie, by the way. We'll later talk about why it's a lie. Not only are we not a threat to you, we are not like Hitler, we are not like Stalin. Not only we're not like them, we're generous. We will let you in our largest market in the world. By the way, the opposite is true. It is the United States who let communists into the largest market of the world, the United States. And history has shown, whenever, or to whichever country, the United States opened its largest market into, that country will thrive. History has shown again and again, right? After World War II, Japan, Germany, right? Those were integrated back into the free world system, right? And so they have very fast economic recovery. So China then pitched this no threat, but generous. Okay, that's why I say it, I call it generous barbarism. Right? It's barbaric. Communism is barbaric. It's become more and more clear. But at that time, it was weak. So it was not as threatening. It was not as threatening as Hitler or Stalin. But it's nonetheless barbaric to the core. Right? Yet its barbarism is reserved for those who is under its rule, under its ruling. Right? So to the outside world, before it can, you know, impose its power on, it was weak. So it was, the world did not get to see its barbaric side. Right? So it says, you know, we will let you in our economic development, and you don't have to sacrifice anything, right? The only thing you have to do is to look away from the way we do things inside China. Look away from how we treat our own citizens, right? So, to the Wall Street, to those unprincipled politicians who were probably influenced heavily by Wall Street and, the multinationals, they then jump into China's market. Now, that is from the economic point of view, and that's why I say, you know, right now still, even as it is now, the Biden administration, particularly recently Janet Yellen, pitched that the profit that the two countries can share together when they develop together, right? So that is from human perspective. As I said in our last fragment, now we have to measure, we better measure our actions, our activities with higher principles. When you fuse these two economies together, one is based on the belief in divinity, the other one based on atheist. Actually, the Chinese Communist Party is not just atheist. Atheist says, oh, there's no God, okay? The Chinese Communist Party is anti-theist. It overrules. It's above God. God are not allowed to be, gods are not allowed to exist in China. Gods are not allowed to be known by Chinese people. Not only that, you know, Satan are not allowed to be known. So it's anti-theist. When you fuse those two economies together, that can only result in one thing. The corruption of the United States. Not just economically, not just morally, but also social, culture. You know, it's a all around, it's a multifaceted influence.
It permeates everything.
And, right.
Okay,
so,
hold that thought. We'll take a really quick break and come right back because you're so good at doing that. And it's always nice to have somebody who can keep their train of thought even though we keep interrupting. Anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. kind of fitting. So, Dr. Yeah. Chen, once we've once it's all, you know, they've walked us into this partnership, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you see for that? I mean, that's what's allowed them to create all this pain for people in China and other countries.
Oh, in the United States as well, right? So we are human. We human are not good at reviewing things at a larger scale. We look at the problems in front of our own eyes for this moment, right? And we're not good at look at how we came to this problem. So, back in 1992, really the engagement, economic engagement, with China, after, you know, really started in 1992, after 1992. There were, economic, engagement before 1989, but at that time, China did not have this, it's under a different, leadership at that time. So, after 1992, actually, Jiang Zemin was then the leader. So before 1989 was Zhao Ziyang, Hu Yaobang. So those are not household names in other countries, but they are in China. But after June 4th massacre, there was a new CCP head whose name is Jiang Zemin, and I think he certainly is the worst criminal in human history, worse than Stalin, worse than Hitler.
I was going to say, there's a lot of competition for that particular title. that's a busy place.
So, right. So then China was very poor and very weak in world standing. Yet in the next 23 years, Jiang Zemin was in power for 23 in power for 23 years. The next 23 years, the world saw the most stunning change of power ranking. China quickly become, you know, to some people, the largest economy, right? But certainly the second largest economy in the world. But it also starts to threaten the United States. In just 20 years, we, United States, allow China to change from the, you know, poor and weak country into a world power that threatens us. And even at that stage, Janet Yellen in June, still told the House Finance Service Committee that, quote, we gain and China gain from trade and investment that is as open as possible. Right? And we are still seeing things from I cannot understand why those politicians hasn't learned from that history. Someone should have looked into it, asked the question, how we, the United States, has changed from a shrinking power after the Cold War, after we won the Cold War, and there was no dispute, right? How in that short segment of time, a quarter of a century, not more than a quarter of a century, how we got ourselves into this? Normally we we haven't asked that. And some in the power are still advocating to continue to go on that route. And no one thought about the moral problem of combining or fusing, exchanging, say, you know, exchanging blood with that economy, right? That economy is completely based on, you know, the prohibit of, you know, anti-theism, okay? That country, that system, that political system based on anti-theism, how can we allow ourselves to be fused with that, okay? So we got into our problem. So at the top level, there's still not enough people to look at this historically, morally, right? The Trump administration began to look at that. And I think among all the members of the Trump administration, Mike Pompeo saw it most clearly. And even then, they look at it politically. I'm not sure they have looked deep enough to be to the level of morality. So, now, first of all, I just gave the example of how the overall power ranking change. Okay. And then, if we look at how that system, the Chinese communist system, has changed our free economy, right? We are supposed to be a free economy. We're supposed to be a fair competition. That is also changed. And people don't see it that way. People haven't seen it. In our station, we have continued to talk about it. Remember when the NBA, when the Rocket, general manager, Murray, posted a message to, support the Hong Kong freedom fighters, you know, he was shut down by the NBA. And when, you know, arguably the greatest player, a GOAT, what they call the greatest of all time, LeBron James, when the Lakers visit China, those players have to tuck their tails in between their legs, right? This is, the NBA is the U.S. made the best basketball association company or basketball business in the world, right? And yet it has to silence itself. And how do we get here?
Exactly.
And this is no longer a free economy, because those companies who oppose China will not be able to make money in China. Right? So, on the other hand, company who remain silent on China's human rights will be allowed to make money in China. So is the field still flat? It's tilted against those who are critical of China. So can we say this country is still a free economy? At least when it comes to political view, well, not even political view, when it comes to human rights issue, it's no longer a fair field, playing field. Those who are critical of China's system will have a fewer opportunity. And this is allowed, by our own system. A system that is supposed to be free and fair, and yet it is people who are in this country, particularly those Wall Street, those multinational, our media, that look at this with a blind, you know, eyesight. Right? They look away. So that has changed our moral standard. It is okay to look away, to be silent on what's wrong, and you will have economic reward.
Yeah. What a trade-off.
So, right. So how deep is that influence in our social life, in our way of thinking? It's unmeasurable. Right, so this is the second aspect. I'm not giving a comprehensive view even. I'm just giving examples, right? And then our economy, our competitive ability, our competitiveness in economy, that has also been compromised. An example, the what they call the solar power basically solar power board. Okay, the United States was the first one that developed those technologies. Yet through crafty maneuver, right? So I should give a more detailed coverage of how that happened. So that is, it's still stolen away from the United States through China's what I called subnational invasion. China has divided up United States to 50 states instead of a whole country. So China are dealing with those states directly. And China's president, Xi Jinping, attended a forum that consisted of the 50 states of the United States, governors. Right. There he pitched China's market to this 50 states. But China's president, he is the head of the whole country. Right? Instead of dealing with Biden and Trump or Obama, okay, the United States state head, he went directly to 50 states. The governor of the 50 states of the United States, and pitch China's economy to them separately. And it is through those interactions that China signed agreement, joint venture agreement, to develop solar power system. And then three years after that, China's solar power industry took off. And that's just one example.
Imagine that.
China's, what?
I said, imagine that.
Yeah. So, economically, China has also taken advantage of the United States. There's so many stories of technology for market. Like China forced those countries who want to do business in China to let China in on their technology, or basically their trade secret, or else you will not have the market. Right? So
We're gonna have to do this on the other side of the news. We're going to come back with our guest, Dr. Shezong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Second hour up, We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape has everything you need when it comes to John Deere. They have tractors, mowers, implements, full parts and service. Go up and see them. If it's John Deere, they can take care of you. They also work on other brands as well.
In the old shop there? In ye old shop?
In ye old shop. We have techs that can work on pretty much anything. Go up and talk to them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And you can also give them a call at 226-9226 or visit them on the interweb at, I'm sorry, internet.
Going to cut Bill's tongue out.
Yeah.
After the show.
You can see them at pappymachinery.com.
Yeah, and it's nice. They can actually fix things. It's a rare and wonderful quality these days. People who can fix things are few and far between. Yep,
they can fix them, and if you can't bring it in, they can go out to your location and fix it on site. So fully capable crew, go up and talk to them.
I heard the guy that makes their service appointments is really nice.
Yeah, he is. He's a great guy. Been there for a long time. Been there since they've been Pape. Yeah.
He's been working on tractors
since
Jesus was a boy.
Well, I don't know about that. But,
okay, that's probably too long.
Long time.
Oh my goodness. Well, our guest this hour is our guest this show, I should say, is Dr. Shezong Chen, and he always gives us these insights on China. He still is, you know, contact with people, and that's his background. But he's lived in this country for a long time, so he has a really unique perspective on that. I think a lot of times when we watch what's happening with China, it's really easy to. Well, I mean, you can only watch through your own vantage point. So, when you have no real working knowledge of how the country operates, you think you're looking at one thing, and then never fails. He comes on the show and tells us stuff, and we're like, "Oh, okay, so we were completely looking the wrong way."
Well, we were talking about solar, and I don't think anybody can argue that China has really kind of cornered the market on solar panels. And in fact, I learned the other day that these big solar farms are putting in with primarily Chinese solar panels. The cost savings, well, let's put it this way. If you put in a solar farm, the lifespan of the panels, they say, is about 25 years. At the end of that 25-year period, you have to replace those panels, and the cost of replacing them and the cost of disposing of them, which they never talk about, when you combine those costs, it outweighs the savings you've had over that 25-year period in electrical charges, and I heard that the other day, and I was a little bit shocked that information is not widely known. And what you were saying about China making individual deals with individual states really makes sense, because it's much easier to make a deal locally with a smaller bureaucracy like a state government than it is to go federally and have to deal with all the federal departments and what have you. So that was really interesting. And how did, you know, that was really a smart move on China's part. And how do you think they were able to come up with that plan and instigate it without anybody really stepping in and saying, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, they captured us with that fire and a shot
exactly.
again.
Yeah. That's what I called a subnational nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a country that coordinating with to have a central government coordinating all different states, different cities, then the national interests get protected, right? The national interests and there's always that potential difference between the national interest and the local interest, right? And you would need a central government to balance different states' interest. In fact, different states can work with each other to balance that interest, right? So that's the central government's rule, right? So, say a industrial state and an agriculture state can benefit from each other, right? They can exchange their product, right? And they have specialized technology, specialized group of people, specialized business environment, and their weather conditions are all different, right? So, the variations, right, creates a situation where a potential conflict between different states exists. And when you're in one country, the central government is in a good place to, you know, balance that, supplement that, coordinate that. Here, the Chinese Communist Party came in to replace the central U.S. government, the federal government of the United States, instead of a Chinese government come in and say, look, we can balance you. You deal with me. We have a large country, right? So that government essentially came in to replace the U.S. federal government. Now, the scary part that not many people know is actually the U.S. federal government facilitated that. Imagine that. I have looked up material on that. I actually wrote a short piece on China's subnational invasion of the United States. And so the State Department, before President Trump came in, had this, I forgot the exact name, but it's a program to facilitate China's economic development or cooperation with the local governments. Imagine that. Right? It happened. I didn't make this up. Right? That the U.S. central government would actually be so short-sighted that it created an office to facilitate that. So, I just talked about the governor's forum, right? Now, below the government, below the state government, there's even the city. So there's a sister city association. And then China came in as well. China have hundreds of cities to form the sister cityhood with the United States cities. San Diego, the city I'm in, is a sister city with a Yantai city in Shandong. Right. So there are hundreds of this sister city relationship between United States cities and China cities. Now, the United States Sister City Association is a true non-government organization. Right? So It's really a local community organization. What they did not know, when they form a sister city relationship with the sister city, they so naively think they're dealing with the equivalent of a civil organization in China. What they didn't know is that behind all the sister city entities in China is the central Chinese Communist Party. Again, this creates a situation where the cities in the United States are all divided up and conquered by the central government of China. Again, the Chinese Communist government came in to replace the United States federal government. And it's so worrisome that few people, I see very few people look at things from that perspective. Right, so now I gave three examples. Right? At the federal level, the United States allowed China to, to catch up in less than a quarter of a century, to threaten the United States from a poor and, weak country, right? And then at our economic system, right, China has changed our free and fair economy into something that at least China is a big factor, right? That you cannot say the business and the political entities cannot criticize China. If you criticize China, you will not be allowed to make money. You will be in an inferior position against those who to be favorable of China. Right? So, and then economically, technologically, China has stolen huge amount of wealth from the United States. And all this resulted in the suffering of the ordinary people in this country.
Well, they're masters of copyright.
The people.
Yeah, copyright infringement. Right. And mm-hmm. I mean, I've actually heard, from people, not just read in the news or whatever, people who've invented things, and they get a contract with a big company, and they go to market it. They deliver one, they make one delivery, and then suddenly their product has a slightly different name, comes out of China, and it's sold at half the price, and they're... Their invention is gone, and their copyright means nothing.
Exactly. And then you also have a situation where if you want to do business in China, you take your ideas and your manufacturing and maybe your technology over there, and you have to have a Chinese partner, and it's just a matter of time before you're no longer a partner, and China owns the company.
Yeah.
And this happens over and over again, and I don't understand why companies continue to do business over there when they know that's ultimately what's going to happen. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah. And all this add together harm the people in this country tremendously. And that's why so many people lost their job. It's a systematic, it's an overall impact and weakening of this country. And yet, I have seen no one yet to put all this above together to tell the people of the United States, to explain to the people of the United States how we got things to this point, how we're weakened to this point. Instead, the public was fed with, which has some truth in it, but that's not the bottom cause our mainstream media, you know, will blame this country on this social subject, on that social topic, mm-hmm. on this wokeness, on that, okay? Mm-hmm. So this diverts them away from the key problem. The key problem is because when we allow ourselves to be swayed away from our moral standard that's based in our belief in divinity, to deal with a system that's anti-theist. So that moral failure allowed our central government to be replaced, effectively replaced by the Chinese Communist government. As I said, you know, the Chinese government in various aspects already replaced our central government. And so basically this country, the government system has already allowed the Chinese communist system to run our lives. At the beginning, maybe very little, right? But slowly, more and more, slowly, more and more. But no people has put this together. Instead, they look at other minor details, overlooking this larger picture. The larger picture is that our moral failure allowed our system to be taken over by the Chinese Communist government. Our own government is failing in that aspect.
Yeah, and we're busy silencing people.
What?
We're busy silencing people on that front, mm-hmm. which is allowing that to further permeate. You know, you're not allowed to talk about this, that, or the other thing, and I think everybody's pretty familiar with the list that just keeps growing. Interesting part is I see people reaching a bit of a limit finally with that, I think. There's a little bit of people are over it at some level, whether they're going to speak up yet or not is another matter. But we're counting on Liam and his generation to save us. Maybe we can. What do you think, Liam?
That's a big ask.
Come on, man. Oh my goodness, little Joe Biden for you there. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Be right back. This kind of war, it's going to be a non-shooting war. I think everyone thinks, you know, we're going to have some sort of revolution. I hear that right. From people all the time, that it's going to be civil war. And I don't think people really understand what that's going to look like. I think it's going to look like what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a shooting war.
It's not a shooting war?
Be a fire shot.
I think
sure.
Yeah, it's going to be... you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, how do you take over a system that's been totally corrupted, especially when it has its own military and it's a big system. You don't take it over by marching on it.
No.
I mean, that's just not a winning strategy. You take it over from the inside with ideas. And yeah. And we already have those ideas. We actually were really good at them at one point. It's not like we have to learn a whole new, I don't know. I guess I'm curious what you think about that. Like, in the United States, we've had those ideas and we've been silenced and sort of, well, ridiculed and made to believe that those ideas are bad and outmoded and we have to go with all this new stuff. But at least we are familiar with those things. That wouldn't be going to a brand new place for us. In China, people haven't been allowed to think those ideas before. That seems like that'd be a lot heavier lift. Is it harder to go backwards or go forwards?
I think as long as that the Chinese system, okay, that is a vampire system. It doesn't produce. It can only be supported by exploitation. Right? So if people continue to allow that system to suck their blood, and then it will sustain. Right? And then worldwide, as long as the system allows the communism to live on them, then you will continue to thrive. And the only way to end it is to realize what it is and cut it. Right? And this is why I say we have a new paradigm. The only way to see through this with this is this new paradigm, because if we argue politically, with different political theory, this will never end. It, only if we look at from the clarity of morality, we can see what's going on. And even what we discussed today, I haven't seen people speak from this perspective. Right? So, for example, I just said earlier, minutes ago, I said, the United States government has allowed the Chinese government to step in its place to run the United States from central government down to deal with different states. And people say, how can that be possible? Right? Our president run for president. Our Senate run for their position. So they run it for their power. How can they let their power go, how can they let go their government, forfeit their government to the Chinese government? That doesn't make sense. Well, it depends on what do you run your position for. What do you run the president for? What do you run your public office for? Because if you run those for profit, then you're prone to be manipulated with interest. If a government can give you a bigger profit, then maybe you will listen to them. So here's another use that I intend to bring up in today's program anyway. So 2 weeks ago, China put together a lavish reception for Kissinger, who is 100 years old and has visited China over 100 times. And before Kissinger, there were Blinken, there were Yellen, there were Kerry, who visit China. And then China also refused to allow its defense minister to meet with the United States Secretary of Defense. Right? So China has been very cold in receiving or interacting with the formal U.S. Officials, cabinet members. Yet, it puts such a lavish reception for Kissinger. And then Kissinger gets to meet with China's defense ministry. But this is weird, right? Even you look at it from the surface, it's weird, okay? China seemed to favor this informal diplomatic relationship through Kissinger over the official representative of the United States. And how come? And when I look at this, I said, well, that has been how China has been running and influencing the United States, right? China has always used Wall Street, used this establishment, used like it's Kissinger. Okay, before Kissinger, by the way, before Kissinger, China has also Xi Jinping, China's head of the party, right? Also met with Bill Gates, and then China has also gave a very high profile bio reception to Elon Musk, right? So it has it presents such a strong contrast of warm reception to this Wall Street or multinational businessmen or power brokers that gave a cold shoulder to official representatives of the United States government. And why is that? And when I think about it, I realize that that is exactly the way the CCP is doing business. It worked with the economic people who are prone to be, people who are just look at Wall Street, right? The profit is their number one concern, right? The politicians, yes, economy is important. But there are other constraints. So when China interacts with the U.S. government, China has to face with those constraints. So China tries to circumvent that through Wall Street, have the Wall Street to influence, do their biddings for them. And China has been very successful. Now, the American people were not properly informed about this. They should be. And they should connect their problem, their loss of job, their lowered wage, their financial difficulty. They should connect that with how this Wall Street multinational sellers who sell the United States interests out to China. And so these are what I call the national thief. A common thief, when caught, could be put in jail. Well, not in California, unless what you stole is over $950, then maybe you'll be trouble. Anything below that, you're free. Okay. So, in general principle, right, a common thief will be punished. Well, this national thief, like Kissinger, they sold they sold the United States government, if they sold the United States national interest out to China with impunity, with profit. And he's not alone.
Yeah, he was at the front edge, though.
Right. But there's a logic of that, and those people then influence Washington. And they influence Washington with money, with power. And this is how our country get to where we are. But then the root problem, again, goes to how could this country allow that happen? It is not like Kissinger had no moral. It's not like they don't know anything good or it's not like they're a robot that has no moral guidance. It's because the atheism. Well, I don't know whether they're atheism, okay, but they, I don't think they truly believe in God. When you truly believe in God and you truly believe in higher principles, you use them to guide every day of your life, not just when you go to church, not just when you, you know, doing some rituals, right? That's true believing God. You use God's God-given principle to guide your everyday life. And yet this country, I think, has been lost on that for too long. And that's why I hope that this hearing on alien will give this nation a jolt, right? A wake-up shake. I hope so. Yeah, and this is why I say, you know, why they just give us a new paradigm to look at, you know, U.S.-China relationship. In fact, look at many things, not just our relationship. Just look at the U.S.-China relationship. With our current legal system, you cannot charge this national thief. But their crime is so severe. What they've stolen is billion times more than a common thief. Yet our current legal system would not allow us to press charge against them. And they're very good at arguing back, well, we're businessmen. Right. But if I'm given the opportunity to press charge them on moral grounds, I think I can nail them, right? Because it is not like you don't know. There's clear morality that you have been violating. Yeah. And the Chinese government have always been using that. And that's why the Chinese government is so warm to the Kissingers, to the Bill Gates, and then being so cold to the United States central government. The Chinese government has always wanted to destroy our way of life, to destroy our system, to destroy our central government.
Yeah, they've always, you know, they've played the long game for a long, long time, and I think I'd like to say it's coming to a head right now, but I don't really see anything that our government is doing to slow down the trend or or turn it around.
I mean, now we're still having a love fest.
Yeah, we're still just slapping them on the back.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
You know, nothing scary.
Yeah, some, yeah, we...
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't have a lot of hope, particularly with this administration, that they're going to do anything to curtail China's forward momentum in really destroying our country.
Yeah.
I kind of
jumped on the bandwagon, made it easier.
Yeah, we'll just all be friends.
Exactly. We'll be right back. We have to take a quick break. Our guest is Dr. Shezong Chen. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Thing, nothing but a beat thing. Better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall. But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, tell the bookkeeper to bet I'm not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably.
Good if you don't have a little spirit in the sky. I haven't played that in a while. I love that song. So Dr. Chen, it's not much of a battle. I hear people say, well, you know, China's going to come and, you know, they're putting military here and things like that. And I'm thinking, well, why? Why would they? They don't have to.
No.
Right. Exactly.
Well, they can just stay on course. They're doing fine.
They're doing fine. Yeah, and you said it exactly right. It's a war without bullet.
Yeah.
And this war has gone on for a long time. Ever since, you know, the generous barbarism rolled out. And I call the current war a greedy war. War of greed against humanity. And they're doing fine. The Chinese Communist Party is winning big so far.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, I have hope, and I hope that this congressional hearing will make more people realize atheism or anti-theism is completely wrong, and we have to look at things differently.
And I don't think anybody would connect those two topics, actually. The hearing on aliens and the basically the war on God. I don't think that's
right.
Necessarily something that people go, oh, yeah, that's what I thought of first thing. But I think it's a great point because it's so... I mean, you look at, really, if you look at the underpinning of all these crazy things that have happened, you know, all the stuff that now we can't say or can't do or all these things, it does all go back to belief. You're not allowed to have a belief system. You've got to believe in government, and you have to believe in all those things, and it's got to be pretty creepy for you coming from a place where that is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of scary to watch it happening here? You're like, oh.
Well, it is both scary, but also I hope that people will, some people would come into, you know, realization of this. And this is why, you know, when Aaron, you asked me about a show, this was the first topic that came into my mind. The hearing is its connection with, the U.S.-China relationship. Because this, it's really the extreme of two countries. United States and China were actually originally at the two extremes of spectrum when it comes to, you know, the belief of God or the anti-theist. They were the two extremes, right? The United States, even in the free world, it really felt the city on the hill. Right, so it was one extreme. And the CCP is still on the other extreme. And yet, these two extremes start to sleep in the same bed. And people still do not realize the significance of that, or devastation of that. And so, I don't think this hearing is accidental, and I believe is the divine's way to give us one more chance to look at things differently. This is divine's mercy once again. So to have the people to realize this is wrong, something is really wrong. Aliens are not God. And from the hearing, we already know that human beings' technology is not even close. There's no match for aliens' technology. Sooner or later, human beings will have to realize that we are at the mercy of anti-theism or even at the mercy of aliens. Eventually, we will have to look up to God, to divinity, for our guidance, for our protection. You know, we're not yet, as you pointed out, we're not yet there. But sooner or later, we will be forced to think about it. And yep. So, where
we
would
take
you
take that for granted? Where? I mean, that was a major part. Gosh, I mean, okay, I'm old, but when I was a kid, nothing was open on Sunday. Nothing was open on Sunday. You couldn't. I mean, you might have like we had like a there was like a little corner market, but if you screwed up and needed something at that store, you paid double what it would have been at the regular grocery. But most stuff wasn't open because that was you didn't have ball games. I remember when they first started having tournaments and different things like that on the weekends. My dad blew a fuse. You know, that was family time Saturday and Sunday. That was
yeah.
Family time. And now people
traditional.
Yeah. It was considered. I mean, I remember some kid would show up at your house on their bike, hey, can they come out and play? My dad would just be like, at the door. Look, it's Saturday, it's family day.
No, you're right, nothing was open on Sunday.
Nothing was open on Sunday.
No. You didn't work on Sunday.
Nope.
There was nothing really open. You didn't really do any shopping or
they called them
like
the blue laws, remember?
Yeah.
I don't know why they were blue, but it was called the blue laws, and they didn't sell alcohol. There was a ton of stuff that wasn't available that day, and it's funny, my dad finally got smart. He'd let the kid come in and then show him all the shovels in the backyard because we were always doing some project, And, you know, well, hey, glad you came over. Get a shovel. And then, you know, pretty much kids quit coming over. My dad ended it. But, yeah, now there's no respect for family time. I remember I had a friend of mine, her kids were way younger than my kids, but they had a soccer tournament. I also didn't let my kids play soccer because it seemed stupid. They had a soccer tournament on Thanksgiving weekend. They had to be gone on Thanksgiving to travel to be there on Friday. And it's like, are you kidding me? For soccer? And these kids were like in the fifth and sixth grade. I mean, it's not like they were going to the Olympics or something. I don't know. Yeah. I think all those things, you know, obviously there's more to it than that, but it kind of walks us into a place where culturally we're open to these ideas that we don't need God and he's not important.
Mm-hmm. So eventually, I expect it to be sooner than later, that we are forced to look for guidance from above. So where would this guidance come from or courage come from? And to me, a natural place would be where people have been able to resist the most evil force of all, the Chinese Communist Party, would be the source of guidance and courage. And we all know that Falun Gong had been able to resist the most evil regime of all, the Chinese Communist Party. And they have shown that they have the power, they have the courage, they have the principle, they have the steely will to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party. And hopefully, I think, people will rethink about that.
It's sad when you think about it. In this country, you know, people can practice their faith whenever they want to, however they want to, and so many people don't. It's not important. They don't care about it. And you look at people who live like in China, for instance, who just want to be left alone and practice their faith, and they are persecuted, jailed, and killed for that. I mean, it's not even an option.
And organ harvested for that.
And then there's the old organ harvesting program, the capitalism of China. It's unfortunate, but sometimes I think when things are easy, that's when you take things for granted. I think history would bear that out. We've done that lots of times.
Right. And the inspiration of Falun Gong practitioners is very simple. They want to be a good person. They want to be good people. And for that, they get persecuted. And for the purpose of being a good person, they're willing to sacrifice their life. I once was seeing a senator, California senator.
Feinstein?
Yeah, Brian, yeah.
Diane?
Diane Feinstein, yeah. And her chief of staff said, you know, we cannot help you, meaning following practitioner. You keep going to lion's dens. That's not true. We are only insisting a right to be a good person. And then lately, they came to the realization that a good person, right, the definition of a good person, I have a new definition of a good person. I think a good person is someone who not only can keep a moral standard for himself, A good person is someone who can make the society better, make the environment better, make everything better. And I think that's what Falun Gong practitioners are. They, by defending their own right, they set an example of the power of principles, higher principles. And they're in this fight against the most evil regime, the Chinese Communist Party. And all government right now, it's getting a little better now. But for a long time, the free world, governments around the world, all work with the Chinese government or the Chinese Communist government for their economic benefit and look away from their persecution of Falun Gong, of human rights lawyers, of other things.
And I don't think history is going to be kind in the end result with all of that when we look back at how complicit, whether people realized it or not. I think it's time kind of woke up a little bit on what was happening there. You know, Dr. Chen, we have somehow hit the end of another segment with you. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Our guest has been Dr. Shizong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.